Ramsey TV.
I don't get any big thrill from doing this, folks. In fact, I kind of got a pit in my stomach about it. I'm uncomfortable with this. To rebuke a brother and expose a teaching, but it's just so damn bad. It has to be done. But really, even as I'm talking to you right now, I have a pit in my stomach. I don't like to do this, but I'm compelled. That's it. I just have to do it because it's just so bad. I hate to see division in the body of Christ. I hate to see people setting themselves up as super members of the body of Christ, belong to the new body of Christ. And you poor people who are rummaging around Romans and 1 Corinthians to try to find relevant truth for today. No, it's just, this has to be done. And so I'm doing it. I have some great topics coming up for you. Once I get off of this, I'll probably be off of this week. I do want to get into the marriage thing because a companion teaching to this Acts 28 thing, because Clyde has to get rid of, because Clyde has gotten rid of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let those having wives be as though not having them. He claims that marriage is the highest spiritual calling today. Boy, is this damaging teaching. But this is out there in print. I have to quote this stuff to you because if anyone out there thinks that marriage is the highest spiritual calling today, and Clyde positively teaches that, then you are going to get into a situation, perhaps where you should never get into, i.e. marriage. In fact, Paul wishes everybody could be single like him. But of course, Clyde thinks that's old truth. It doesn't apply today. It applied to that day, to that era. But then again, Clyde makes another false distinction, saying that there was that era and this era. But whenever Paul uses the word era, he's talking about the same era we're in. And in one of these five articles that I link down there underneath this video, I talk about the era. I have a whole newsletter based on the current era and the things that are common in this era. It's the same era. We're living in the same freaking era that Paul wrote about. And I'm just going to do that. I am going to do that. I'm going to talk about the era. And I'm going to prove to you from Scripture, as I'm doing all this from Scripture, bringing the Scripture, I'm going to prove to you that this is the same era Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians. There has not been a switch in era. There has not been a switch in eon. There has not been a switch in cosmos or world. So these micro distinctions are just irritating. Worse than that. I mean, they irritate me on a base level, but worse than that. They're used as fulcrums to introduce what are to Clyde pet teachings, pet doctrines. And it might not be for you. And you might feel like, oh, I'm inferior if I'm not married. I'm inferior if I'm looking for the return of Christ. Clyde tells me I'm wasting my time looking for the return of Christ. I feel like a fool for believing that I'm going to rise in the air to meet the dead in Christ. See, I can't let that happen to any of you. I know most of you, probably all of you, are not like, you get it. But I want to be on record. I want to have a series of videos that you can point people to who have heard about this truth, who are considering, who have heard about this falsehood, who are considering it, And I want to catch them in the infancy stage of like looking into it. And you can say, whoa, stop there. Stop there. Zender has a bunch of teachings on this. You really need to watch his videos and read these newsletters before you adopt this new body of Christ thing and seek to elevate yourself above other members of the body of Christ. There is no member of the body of Christ that ought to be elevating him or herself above other members of the body of Christ. But this teaching invites that. This teaching divides us rather than unifies us. So I left off bringing you 25 proofs from Scripture that Paul's early letters were not founded on the Old Testament and Israel. Why am I doing that? Because Clyde says, and I quote, the early ministry and epistles of Paul were founded on the Old Testament and Israel. I left off in 1 Corinthians 15:51, where Paul says, lo, a secret to you am I telling. How obvious can you get? A secret to you am I telling. Right then, Paul was revealing a secret, which meant it couldn't be found before in any writings, any Old Testament writings, any Israel writings. And all the Old Testament writings were Israel writings. What's that truth? We all indeed shall not be put to repose. You know what Clyde teaches? That we all must be put to repose. Not even kidding. I did a video on this a few months back. We all must be put to repose. Clyde believes that every member of the body of Christ is going to die. Now, this might be his pet teaching. I don't know. I don't know that this belongs to the formal Acts 28:28 teaching as dreamed up by Charles Welch, but it's out there. It's in print. So that's why I'm criticizing it. It's open for criticism because it's in print. We shall not all be put to repose, yet we shall all be changed. On we go. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Show me a place in the Old Testament where this truth shows up. This is nothing less than an announcement of the salvation of all humanity based on descent from Adam and the corresponding work of Christ as the last Adam. How can this possibly be construed as immature and imperfect? Yeah, remember, Clyde calls these first six letters of Paul imperfect. I got to quote this to you again. You're never going to forget it after this. Quote from Clyde, of Paul's 13 epistles, six of them, the number of imperfection. This is a suggestion that Romans is imperfect. No, Romans is perfect. Everything Paul wrote is perfect. And it's mature truth. Six of them, the number of imperfection, were foundational epistles written in the infancy, adolescent stage of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if they were written at the beginning of the body of Christ. Some letters had to be written at the beginning of the body of Christ. There was a beginning of the body of Christ. Paul didn't reveal everything at once, but my God, he reveals some heavy, heavy, serious, mature truths in these so-called imperfect writings, immature writings. The last seven were the perfection epistles, seven being the number of perfection. The final seven were written to the body of Christ in its maturity. I can go with that, written to the body of Christ in its maturity. No, I can't go for that, because I'm going to show you that in Ephesians, Paul claims that there are immature believers. There are immature believers Paul is writing to. As I said yesterday or the day before, I don't remember when I said it, there are mature believers and immature believers all through. All through, whether we're looking at early letters or later letters. In Philippians, one of the perfection epistles, Paul writes about the high calling. He says, whoever are mature may be disposed to this. What does that tell you? There were some who were not mature. So how can the salvation of all be construed as immature and imperfect? Paul's the only guy that unveils this truth. Next, 1 Corinthians 15:25 through 26. For he must be reigning, Christ, until he should be placing all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy is being abolished, death. Where else in Scripture is the abdication of the reign of Jesus Christ ever hinted at? The abdication of the reign. Jesus Christ is going to give up his reign to his God and Father. This is mature truth. In an imperfect letter. In an immature letter. Oh, poor truth. Poor truth of Christ abdicating his reign, giving it up to God because he reigns so well during the eons that he eliminates the need for reign. And where in any scripture, New or Old Testament, is the eventual abolition of death so plainly announced or announced at all? In fact, this section of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 contains the farthest reaching scope in all of Scripture, leading to a time unspoken of, unhinted at by any prophet or apostle, namely the consummation of the eons. First Corinthians 15:24. Thereafter, the consummation, at which time God will be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. God all in all? Paul wrote nothing before Acts 28:28 that was not founded on the Old Testament in Israel? As I said, if I find one instance of something Paul wrote in the first six letters that it was not founded on the Old Testament Israel, then the whole Acts 28:28 position implodes. I got 25 things. Paul breaks out, never before hinted at anywhere. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 17. So that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless, now we know him so no longer. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. New? The primitive passed by, lo, there has come. New? Seems to me that something that is new cannot be founded on the Old Testament. The gospel of the circumcision, which is the gospel to Israel, is based upon an acquaintance with the flesh, Israel's flesh. Israel as a nation looked forward to being born again, but this truth of a new creation based on an erasure of national distinction was not only unknown to them, to Israel, but it's fatal to their calling, especially the apostles who are going to be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Paul says, nope, there's new creation. This goes along with the death of the old humanity. Goes along with the, as I say, as Paul says here, as the erasure, as I reference here, another verse of Paul's, the erasure of national distinction. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For in one spirit also we are baptized into one body. One body, not two bodies. Whether Jews or Greeks, there it is. What made the way for that? The rending of the temple veil. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. A new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them, and placing in us the word of the conciliation. Not even Peter at Pentecost had the remotest clue that Jesus Christ was conciliating the world, that is, making peace with the world, making peace to himself through Christ on the cross. to Peter and the rest of Israel, Jesus Christ was a Messiah of Israel. That was it, the Messiah, the one they were looking for to lead them into the kingdom. And as I said, and as I have said many times, his death, specifically his death on the cross, was something to be repented of, not heralded, and certainly not the means of conciliating the world. They didn't know anything about that. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2, for we are aware that if our terrestrial tabernacle house should be demolished, we have a building of God, a house not made by hands, aeonian in the heavens. For in this also we are groaning, longing to be dressed in our habitation, which is out of heaven. This truth is related to 1 Corinthians, speaks again of the celestial building, that is the body, that awaits us in the heavens. Again, Israel knows nothing about a heavenly body. They're destined for the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Terrestrial, terrestrial, terrestrial. Israel is founded on the ground all the way. And their bodies, when they're resurrected, will resemble the body occupied by Christ when he returned to show himself to the disciples. He walked around, still had his nail prints, the wound on his side, still carried all his wounds. Which, by the way, does away with Mel Gibson's movie. I mean, The Passion of the Christ. And I'm going to get into that in another talk. That's one of the topics that I have for you coming up later. That'll be very interesting, I assure you. Let's go on. 1 Thessalonians. Oh, no. 1 Thessalonians. That's an immature, imperfect letter. Why are you even reading it, Martin? Because Paul reveals new truth here that's not founded on Israel and the Old Testament. Quote, you turn back to God from idols to be waiting for his Son out of the heavens, whom he rouses from among the dead, Jesus, our rescuer out of the coming indignation. There it is. This is for you. This is for today. This is relevant truth for today. Clyde says it's irrelevant. Clyde says that nothing relevant to us today was revealed before Acts 28:28, when Paul's an old man in prison with a beard down to here. You notice every time I do this, the beard gets longer and longer. Yeah. I can finally start my ministry now. At last. I've waited 45 years. I can finally teach to the nations. Absurd. Now I can build a new body of Christ. Why did I waste so much time with that old body of Christ? They're extinct right along with the dodo bird. 1 Thessalonians. This is probably the first letter Paul ever wrote. And when was Israel ever promised deliverance out of the coming indignation, which is the tribulation? No, because even the most faithful of them, no, only the most faithful of them will be sealed to go through the coming indignation. Got a verse reference for you, as you would expect, Revelation 7, verse 4. By the way, if you want to know more about the book of Revelation, I did 800 shows over a period of 3.5 years on the book of Revelation, also known as, really properly known as, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Go to my website, martinzetter.com. Scroll down. You got to scroll down a little bit. I don't know how big your computer screen is, but you got to scroll down. Zender on Revelation. All 800 shows are documented there. And when you go there, you can see a list. You can hit a tab on top and see all the shows and their titles. Israel was never promised a rescue out of the coming indignation. Again, they're going through it. The faithful ones are going through it. If you're lucky, you're going through it. If you're a good Israelite, you're going through it. Otherwise, you're going to be killed. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. This is for you. This is for you today. This is relevant as hell. This is mature truth. And Paul is revealing it in the first freaking letter he ever wrote. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord. An adherent of the Acts 28:28 position, Dave McCullough, who I quoted last week, says that we have nothing to do with trumpets. Nothing to do with trumpets. Seems like we do. Because a trumpet of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Needless to say, ladies and gentlemen, nowhere in the Old Testament or in the New Testament circumcision writings are living Israelites promised to rise and meet the Lord in the air. Clyde would say, well, yeah. Here it is. Because he thinks 1 Thessalonians written to Israelites. And he thinks Romans was written to Israelites. Did you know that Stephen Hill believes that Romans was written mainly to Israelites? Paul to the nations. I don't have a quote for you. I think I have a quote of Stephen Hill's in one of my 5 newsletters on this topic. But Stephen Hill says that Romans was written to mainly Israelites. Let me read you some Israelite names here at the end of Romans. Andronicus, good old Israelite. Junius, good old Israelite there. Ampliotus, one of my favorite Israelites. Urbanus, an Israelite of the Israelites. Stachys, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian, Narcissus, thought of himself all the time. Persis, Asyncritus, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, Philogus, Nerus, Olympus, all those freaking Jews. Thanks, Stephen Hill. No. They're Greeks. They're people of the nations. Well, that shouldn't surprise you. Paul says in the same letter, Romans 11:13, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the nations. You see how they have to force this Acts 28:28 nonsense causes you to force non-truths and try to contort them into truths to try to make it agree with your premise. If you start with the wrong premise, then you got to do all kinds of linguistic acrobatics in order to make this thing fly. But this thing flies like the dodo bird. Speaking of Stephen Hill, he wrote in one of the editions of the Bible Student's notebook. In fact, he insists, and I'm quoting him. I don't have the reference here, but this is a quote. 1 Thessalonians 4, the snatching away passage, remains the future expectation of believers of Israel. Really? You got evidence for that? No, they don't have any evidence for that. Since Paul is the apostle of the nations, then I don't think it's a stretch to say that this is a truth for the nations, and that Paul has a distinct gospel from Israel, not founded on Israel, called the gospel of the uncircumcision, as related to us clearly and cleanly in an early letter, one of the earliest, Galatians 2, verse 7, Peter, minister of the circumcision, I of the uncircumcision. This passage, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, is for the nations. To just pull this out of where, I don't know. 1 Thessalonians 4 remains. Remains? When did it ever start as? Remains the future expectation of believers of Israel. No proof. No verse. Just pulling it out of someplace. remains the future expectation of believers of Israel? Then where were they ever promised such a thing? When did it start? If this remains, and I'm quoting the guy, my friend Stephen Hill, if this remains the future expectation of believers in Israel, where in the Old Testament was it first promised them that they would be taken into the air? In fact, I've consistently asked for a verse backing up this assertion, and this is one bold assertion, but none have been forthcoming. And in his article, Stephen offers no proof. As I said, he simply states it, as though stating it makes it true. Which is not to say I don't understand the lack of the presentation of evidence. I completely understand it. Because there is no evidence. If you want to go back to the expectation of Israel and you want to see something that is founded on Israel and on the Old Testament, it would be this, Daniel 12:2. That passage, on the other hand, graphically describes accurately the future expectation of Israel believers. And here it is. I quote Scripture, because I'm always bringing you the receipts, always bringing you the Scriptures. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, from those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake. These to aeonian life, and these to reproach for aeonian repulsion. Israelites, wake up. They come out of their tombs. That's it. There's your verse. Resurrected Israelites have no need to meet the Lord in the air. Because I have another verse. Revelation 5:10. That the Israelites will rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's the fabled millennial kingdom. Where does that kingdom take place? On the earth. For the meek shall inherit the earth. And in you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Paul's early letters are not founded upon the Old Testament and Israel. How many more verses do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Nothing but truth. Nothing but truth. I got 10 more places where I'm going to just bury this Acts 28:28 teaching in the absurd assertion that nothing Paul wrote before Acts 28 has to do with us. It's all founded on Israel and Old Testament truth. And none of it's relevant for today. These statements, and that 1 Thessalonians remains the future expectation of Israel, these statements are so bizarre and so really easily disproven using Scripture, which I'm doing, that it's just fun doing it. It's fun. And I know that goes against what I said at the beginning, that I don't take pleasure in this. But I'm really starting to.